Please do be seated. And as you sit, perhaps you'd reach for one of the church Bibles. There should be one close to you in the pews. Please do grab hold of that and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. And Burns is going to come and read for us from verse 1 to verse 22, the whole chapter. Isaiah chapter 60, you'll find that on page 748. In the church Bibles, 748. And let me say a little prayer just before Burns reads it for us. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we read your word, the Bible now, please thrill us with your plans for the church and help us to understand all that you will accomplish through her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The reading for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 22. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lifts up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along the clouds like doves to their nest? Surely the islands look to me. In the lid are the ships of Tarshish, bringing your children from afar with their silver and gold, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. Though in anger I struck you, in favor I will show you compassion. Your gates will open, will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that people may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir and the cypress together to adorn my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place where my feet. The children of your oppressors will come bowing before you. All who despise you will bow down at your feet, and you will call the city of the Lord Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. You will drink the milk of nations and be nursed at royal breast. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold and silver in place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in place of stones. I will make peace your governor and well-being your ruler. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ben, very much for reading for us. Please don't close your Bibles. Please do keep them open in front of you. And let's keep referring to the text as we look at it together now. If it helps you, jot down a few notes. There's space to do that on the third page in the service sheet. There are also some headings that we'll be looking at the passage under. Well, in the last few weeks, Christmas trees have started going up in homes across the country. I don't know about you, but we put ours up on Thursday. And we have a very simple routine. The tree goes up, I carefully wrap the lights around the branches, then I step back and the children get to work covering it with an assortment of decorations that we've accumulated over the years, many of them decorations which they've made themselves. And then once they're finished, we get to the final step. We draw the curtains, we close the living room door, and plunge ourselves into darkness. And then finally, we flick the switch to turn on the lights, and the effect is wonderful. We all enjoy that moment, don't we? That's why we get so many people gathering to watch the Christmas lights being turned on in the town centre. There's something beautiful, even perhaps magical, about lights shining in the darkness. And amazingly, Isaiah's message in this passage that we're studying this morning is that we too are lights shining in the darkness. What a wonderful thought that is. Well, the darkness here is a world that doesn't know God. And in this darkness, Isaiah calls us to arise and shine with the light of Christ so that others might be attracted to his beauty and take their place among his people. We're in the final section of this book of Isaiah that we've been working through over the last few weeks. In his opening chapters, Isaiah began by speaking into the events of his own day and the threat posed by the Assyrians. Then he looked beyond his own day to the exile in Babylon. And now in this final section, he looks beyond the exile to the period which leads to the end of history and the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. His words here are addressed to Zion, the city of Jerusalem, but this isn't earthly Jerusalem. As we'll see as, we go on. No earthly city could contain the vast multitudes described here. This is the heavenly Jerusalem of Hebrews 12 and Revelation 21. It's the church. And Isaiah says to the church in verse 1, arise and shine. That's our first heading, arise and shine. Please look down at verses 1 and 2 with me. Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So the darkness here is spiritual darkness. It's spiritual blindness. And it covers the whole earth. Isaiah's describing a world that doesn't know God, in which there is pain and conflict and evil. It's the world we see around us. And Isaiah speaks of a day when light will penetrate that darkness and God's glory will be revealed. And those words are just left hanging there for 700 years, waiting to be fulfilled until one day Jesus comes and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light that Isaiah is speaking of here. We live in a dark world enshrouded by darkness and death. But then Jesus comes and the light of life bursts in. But it's not only the case that the light of Jesus comes to us, it's also the case that the light of Jesus shines on us. I was walking our dog one morning this week, and as I came out onto the West Hill, I was met by this beautiful sight. Now, I may not be much of a photographer, but I do know a sermon illustration when I see one. And this is it. Isn't it beautiful? Here's the sun breaking through the darkness of the clouds early in the morning. And here's a close-up. See how it's shining on the surface of the sea and lighting it up. It looks as though the sea itself is glowing. Well, that's something like what Isaiah is describing here. The glory of God in Christ shines upon us, his people, and he lights us up too. We too become lights, glowing with his glory in the world. Jesus said the same thing. He said this, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. To the one who says, I am the light of the world, also says to us, you are the light of the world. He shines on us with the light of life, and we radiate that life outward to the world. And that's how others come to see the light of Jesus. It's through us as we shine with his light in the world. So Jesus says, let your light shine. Don't hide it away. Let others see the light of Jesus shining brightly from you. And we do that as we tell others about him. and about his death and his resurrection. We shine with his light when we talk with our friends and neighbours about him and open the Bible with them and invite them along to events here at church. What a great opportunity we have to do that this Christmas with all the activity that's going on here at Emmanuel. And Jesus says we shine with his light through our good deeds. Well, those words give great value to the things we do as Christians. As we spend time with our neighbours and get involved with our communities, doing good, caring for people, supporting those in need, we are shining with the light of Jesus. As we open our hall to run a toddler group and offer it as a warm, welcome space, we are shining with the light of Jesus. Now, at first, those around us may not want to listen to the things we have to say. They may not like some of the things we believe. They may object strongly, even angrily, to the convictions we hold. But if they see through our deeds that we love them and are concerned for their good, then we might just be the ones they turn to in their time of need. And they might just give our message a second hearing. And doesn't that give great significance both to our words and to our actions? And Isaiah makes a promise. He says that nations will come to your light. It's an amazing promise, and he expands on it in the verses that follow. So that's our next heading. Nations will come to your light. Look down at verse 4. I love these words. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. Now, we talk of people's faces lighting up with joy, and that's what Isaiah is describing here. It's a wonderful picture of the joy that comes from seeing God's plan of salvation being accomplished. And it's happening now, today. What he describes in the next 10 verses is a vast multitude of people coming to Zion. And we get the impression of the whole world converging on this one city. People come from every corner of the globe. They come in ships by sea, and they travel over land. They come from near and from afar. And there's a sense of urgency. In verse 8, Isaiah describes people flying along like clouds or like doves to a nest. And this isn't only Jews, it's people of all nations, from distant islands and faraway countries. The reason they come is that the Lord has endowed this city with splendor, verse 9. It's beautiful. It shines with the glory of the God who dwells there. And his glory is like a magnet, drawing the world to himself. People of all nations want to come to him in worship. Foreigners will rebuild the city, verse 10. Well, this isn't the oppression of migrant workers, but the willing service of those who want to honor him. And the city's gates will always be open day and night, verse 11, so that this procession of people can keep coming. Those who won't come will perish, verse 12. And even those who had previously oppressed God's people will bow down, willingly humbling themselves in order to enter the joy of God's presence. And clearly, this isn't geographical Jerusalem. No earthly city could accommodate this multitude of people. This is spiritual Jerusalem. It's a picture of the church scattered across the globe. And this ingathering of the nations is happening all around us now. It's happening as people in every part of the globe are drawn to the light of Jesus and become sons and daughters of God through faith. What a thrill to see that happening with our own eyes. We can look at the world around us and read reports of churches springing up and growing in pretty much every part of the world. And that's what Isaiah is describing. But we don't need to look at the world around us. We just need to look at the people around us here in the church. It's just over 100 of us in total. Not all of us are here today. There's, perhaps about 60 of us here today. We're not a big church. Yet, nonetheless, by my reckoning, there's more than a dozen different nationalities represented among us. That's what Isaiah's talking about. What he's describing is being fulfilled right here in front of our very eyes. Isn't that staggering? And notice what the people bring with them. Look at verse 5 again. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and well with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. So again in verse 11, your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut day or night, so that people may bring you the wealth of the nations. Now, this isn't another giving review talk, I promise. I think Isaiah's got a slightly different point in mind here. At the beginning of the Bible, where we read about the creation of the world, we're told that God made Adam and Eve, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." And here in Isaiah, we've got a picture of that creation mandate being fulfilled. Adam and Eve have been very fruitful. They've been replaced by a vast multitude. And this vast multitude, which comes to honor and worship God, brings with it the riches of the nations. That is, all that's good and valuable from all the different countries and cultures of the world. We get a glimpse of that happening in the Gospels when the Magi from the East come to worship Jesus, bringing with them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we continue to see that happening today as people of all nations come to Jesus and lay their treasures at his feet, not merely money, but all that's good and praiseworthy about their cultures and backgrounds. Isaiah is saying that somehow the best of human culture will be incorporated into this Jerusalem. The wonderful variety of different human cultures will not be eradicated when Jesus returns at the end of history. Somehow the best of all the different cultures we represent will be incorporated into the new heaven and the new earth. And that means that culture matters. Now, of course, our unity in the gospel transcends all of our cultural differences, whether they're national, regional, educational, or anything else. We are all one in Christ. But at the same time, our cultural diversity is real, and it's to be celebrated and treasured and enjoyed. There's a danger in church life that we smooth out the cultural differences between us, and we start dressing the same and speaking the same and acting the same. But the light of Jesus shines from us most brightly when that isn't the case. It shines most brightly when both our gospel unity and our cultural diversity are expressed and celebrated among us, as they will be in eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. And it's to eternity that Isaiah looks in the remaining verses. They're full of encouragement. So I put as our final heading, you will enjoy God's glory forever. Well, the things we've thought about so far are wonderful, but they might seem in some respects a far cry from the reality. Yes, we can look around and see people of all nations coming to Jesus, but in our country at least, it hardly seems like a triumphal procession of people rushing to faith. At best, it's a steady trickle. At worst, the church seems to be in steady decline. This week, the results of the most recent census were published. Perhaps you read about it in the news. It showed that for the first time, less than half of the people in England and Wales described themselves as Christian. Those who did describe themselves as Christian fell to 46% of the population. Meanwhile, those who said they had no religion increased to 37%. Well, against that backdrop, the results of our attempts to shine with the light of Jesus can feel, well, a bit discouraging. Well, if that's the case, then Isaiah's vision of the future here in the remaining verses of chapter 60 should buoy our spirits. He begins in verse 15. Although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through, I will make you the everlasting pride and the joy of all generations. He's telling us that history is heading towards a destination, and is showing us what it will be like. He's looking beyond this world to the world to come. The verses that follow are full of images which are picked up in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which John describes, where John describes a vision of a new creation in which God dwells with his people forever, and the whole earth is the city of God. And the big idea here in Isaiah is of permanence and security. There will be peace and well-being, verse 17. There will be no more violence or ruin or destruction, verse 18. The chapter began with the light of the Lord shining upon his people. And here, the Lord will be their light forever. At present, the sun sets and the moon wanes. But in that day, the light of the Lord himself will shine unceasingly. Verse 19, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. God's plan of salvation will finally be accomplished, and the world will be as it should be. Verse 21, then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. So here are God's people, made righteous through the blood of Jesus, populating the whole earth and delighting in God's perfect rule forever. And here's the thing. This all comes about through our witness in the world today, which at times can seem so small and discouraging. At times, it may feel as though our light shines only dimly. It may feel as though our witness makes little impression on the darkness around us. And yet, Isaiah says, it will result in a city of light filled with a vast multitude of people gathered from the nations. See how he describes it in verse 22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. Now, Isaiah isn't saying that this growth will happen overnight. He's not promising that the results of our witness will be spectacular. But he is saying that our witness in the world matters, and that the ultimate triumph of the gospel is certain. And that's the encouragement we need to keep shining brightly. The world might not see anything particularly beautiful or attractive in our lives. Many will merely dismiss us as do-gooders or an eclectic mix of weirdos. But as we shine with the light of Jesus, those whom God is calling from the nations will see his glory and be drawn to it. They'll see his glory in our words and our good deeds. They'll see his glory in our unity and our cultural diversity. And they'll come and they'll take their place in his kingdom. So God says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The least of you will become a thousand, and the smallest, a mighty nation. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for sending Jesus as our light in the darkness. It's staggering to think that as he shines on us, we too shine with his light in the world. It's even more staggering to think that one day our witness will result in a whole new creation populated with your people, people who love Jesus as we do. So please help us to shine brightly. Please help us this Christmas time, particularly as we witness to the good news of Jesus. And please grant us the joy of seeing your purposes being accomplished through us. We pray that in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.